welcome to another episode of The Young Cast. I'm Will, and I'm feeling good because I'm fresh off another Mario Party 8 victory. My fourth
and
in a
last.
Row. Fourth and
last. Perhaps
it will be my last because I'm retiring as champion. Champion of Mario Party. Consider this my official retirement.
He only won by 6 coins.
That is still a victory.
In the last, like, 2 moves.
And here to witness this historic occasion is...
Dana.
And...
Sarah.
Welcome, Sarah, our newest guest to the podcast. Just to introduce yourself to anyone who might not know you, you are enrolled in something university 1 year behind us, mm-hmm. right? And we were introduced through the mutual quote-unquote friend that is Ryan J. Cornelius, who appeared in the previous 2 episodes of this podcast.
That's accurate, unfortunately.
How long have you two known each other?
Like 4.5 years.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Went through high school together.
Yes.
And then just decided you hadn't had enough of him, so you had to come to the same college as well.
Well, I mean, the writing program was my main goal in coming here.
Mm.
But now I get to spend my glorious days with Ryan, too, so, you know.
And thankfully, Ryan... is not here to muck up any more podcasts. If you're listening, Ryan, I'm only poking fun, and we'll probably have you on future episodes, but...
I'm not.
Ryan's gone home to Mountaintop, and...
Where I also live.
Yeah, and as soon as he entered town, you jumped ship and decided to come visit us at a separate time.
Mm-hmm.
So, welcome... And thank you for joining us and playing Mario Party with us and losing to me so narrowly.
I feel welcomed, appropriately.
It was a real pleasure. Although this isn't news to us, I just want to get this out of the way right at the top of the show, because I feel we have to talk about The Legend of Korra.
So excited.
Because in the previous episode, episode 21... Ryan, Dana, and I talked so much about the Last Airbender movie and about M. Night Shyamalan. We talked less about the Nickelodeon TV series, but everybody knows by now what big fans we are. And just the other night, I read the news online about the new Avatar series from the creators of the original show, which is tentatively titled The Legend of Korra. So, what do we know about the new show so far?
The new Avatar is female, mm-hmm. Korra.
A girl named Korra.
She's from the Southern Water Tribe.
Right.
Which is interesting, seeing as Katara was the last waterbender from the Southern Tribe. Mm-hmm. So,
I wonder if it's grown in the last 70 years.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see that.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's 70 years in the future.
Right. I always thought that one thing that I recognized as being slightly good in the movie was the way that the Southern Water Tribe looked, because I felt like in the TV series, it was so small, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Whereas in the movie...
They had houses that melted.
Yeah. Like... Igloos, okay, it's the South Pole, I can get behind that, but in the show, from what you saw, it was literally like a few old people, some children, all the men had gone away to war, and there were like a small handful of igloos, and it...
There were 3.5 people there.
Yeah, yeah, from what I could tell was the whole South Pole, there was like this one... really small town. It seemed like more of an actual place in the movie, but you're right, she's from the Southern Water Tribe, so she's a waterbender, and...
I think it said in the article that we read that she's already mastered 3 of the elements.
Water, earth, and fire.
Which is also interesting, because we spent the whole series following Aang trying to learn all of the different elements, but she knows so much already. I wonder how that's going to affect.
Yeah, I wonder how long they want this series to be. Like, the other one was always going to be just 3 seasons.
Yeah. I thought I read a vague reference to the notion that the new series would also be 3 books long.
Yeah. Like, I wonder what the theme will be of each one.
Yeah, I wonder if it'll be titled the way that the old ones were titled, Water, Earth, and Fire.
Well, there was no air book, so that could be the first one, potentially.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how they would take that from there, though.
The fifth element. Yeah. Love bending.
That's a good movie, The Fifth Element. I like that movie. Anyway, we also know, I've perhaps found this most interesting, that while the old show was a very on-the-road, travel-based show, where from week to week you could expect them to be in a new place with each episode, the new show is supposed to stray away from that, and most of the series is supposed to take place in one place, this big city that's home to people from all of the nations, and apparently runs on reportedly steampunk technology, which is interesting. Steampunk stuff is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Maybe it's all, like, I imagine it, you remember that episode with the machinist, or the machinist, or whatever his name was, where he had sort of pimped out the Northern Air Temple to run on his machines and gadgets.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine it looking a lot like that, because everything there ran on steam.
Yeah.
So, steampunk, maybe it'll look a lot like his stuff.
I'm mostly concerned about it being in one place because I kind of got sick of bossing, say, after a while.
Mm-hmm.
When they were in the original series there for several episodes in a row.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how that'll work out.
Yeah. Well, I think we probably can look forward to seeing it next year.
I'm not sure.
All we know so far is that it's supposed to be out in 2011. We don't know when in 2011. And with Comic-Con going on right now in San Diego, I'm hoping that we might hear even more news and details about it before the weekend is over. I should say that we are recording this on Friday, July 23rd.
So the time, or by the time you hear this, there are probably lots of details out.
Hopefully. I should hope so. But you never know. These things, they could go on in a lot of secrecy, because the show has a lot of fans eager for a lot of spoilers. So right now in San Diego, a whole bunch of people are congregating and dressing up in their Jedi costumes and
really cool things like that.
And
protesting against the Westboro Baptist Church.
That was a great story, the story about their counter-protest. I'll have to show you the pictures before you have to leave later. There are all sorts of funny signs, the God Hates Jedi signs, and there was a guy who was dressed up like Jesus Christ at the counter-protest. And apparently Comic-Con in recent years has become less and less about comic books, from what I've read. For instance, I don't know if you know this, but there are various panels for all sorts of TV shows, especially TV shows that attract a nerdy, fanatical fan base.
Yeah.
What I'm getting at is there's a Glee panel.
Is there?
Yeah, there's a Glee panel at this year's Comic-Con.
That's
so
strange.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It has nothing to do with comic books, so you wouldn't expect
it. It's not even that nerdy.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, with the fans like us being Gleeks and all, it's an attention grabber at least. And
yeah.
They're all about marketing TV shows and movies lately.
I met today, actually, someone who actually is in the Glee Club.
Oh, really?
I gave someone a tour, and she said she was really into singing, and she was in the Glee Club.
Did you say anything about the show Glee?
No, because that's not professional.
I'm sure she gets it all the time, too.
Yeah, that would probably...
And also, really hot outside, and I wanted to get back.
Yeah.
Finish the tour.
If you're in a Glee Club, I figure either you love the show because it draws attention to Glee Clubs, or you hate the show because everybody goes, oh, you're in a Glee Club? You must watch Glee.
Yeah, I think that would get a smidge annoying after a while.
I would imagine.
I mean, I was in chorus in high school, but they never called it a Glee Club.
Yeah, I didn't know that a Glee Club was a real thing until came the show and I learned more about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think there was a Glee Club at my high school, but then again, it was an all dudes high school. They probably had a different sort of name, a different pretense. So that's about as much as we can say at this point about The Legend of Korra. So let's talk about television that exists already in the form of, speaking of nerdy stuff, Joss Whedon is all over Comic-Con. The news came out that Joss Whedon is officially going to be the director for the Avengers movie, which I didn't read this specifically, but I think that means writer-director, not just director. Hmm. I think he's supposed to write or at least co-write the script. But I don't know that for sure, so don't quote me on it. But I do know for sure that he's supposed to direct it. So now all I have to do is sit and hope and pray that this is not going to turn out exactly like Wonder Woman. Do you know the Wonder Woman story?
No.
Have you noticed that there's been, for years now, a slew of comic book movies, but not once a Wonder Woman movie?
I think I've read something like that, commenting upon that fact.
Yeah, well, there was supposed to be one for a while, and Joss Whedon was supposed to be the guy to write and direct it, which makes so much sense because he is, you know, he's the perfect one to write and direct that because he's all about feminism and the power of female action heroes and comic books and nerdy stuff, serial stories, etc.
Yeah.
He wrote draft after draft of a script, and the studio never liked it, and eventually they took the job away from him, and I think the Wonder Woman movie has been in production hell ever since, as they say.
That's sad.
So, I just hope that the Avengers doesn't turn out the same way.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about Joss Whedon movie projects. We are here to talk about his original project, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, because it's a show that you have recently turned yourself on to. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? How recently?
Probably 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago? How much have you managed to watch in only 2 weeks?
Well, now you're going to make everyone think that I have no life at all.
It's forgivable. I mean, for one thing, it's the summer. You're on vacation. Plus, you're working. It's not as
if... Yeah, I do work. I don't sit at home and do this all day. But I've watched 3 seasons of Buffy so far.
Right.
After I work for most of the morning. And exercise. But yes, I've managed to finish 3 seasons, and we watched an episode of the 4th season earlier tonight.
Right, earlier tonight, the three of us got together at Dana's place. We watched episode 1 of season 4 of Buffy, and the very first episode of Angel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly what Dana and I have been doing for months.
Yeah.
We have not watched the show nearly as quickly as you have.
I can't remember ever doing anything other than watching Buffy and Angel.
Yeah, it's been a while. Before Buffy, what came before Buffy? Was Avatar before
Avatar
Buffy?
Avatar
was before Buffy.
And we got
Buffy.
Through that really quickly.
Right.
And then Dexter was before
Right.
Avatar.
And The Office was before Dexter.
No, Firefly was before Dexter.
Right, Firefly was before Dexter, and The Office came before that.
Yes.
That's the... Now you have the whole history of me and Dana watching television that I've recommended.
Basically, ever since we've been together, we've had some series, some show that we've been watching.
Yeah, and that will be so forever. Mm-hmm. I have a long list of shows on the back burner, like Arrested Development and Veronica Mars... And
oh, Veronica Mars.
Did you ever watch that?
I love Veronica Mars.
Really?
I
oh, awesome.
All three of them on box sets if you want to borrow them.
Actually, it's not necessary anymore because they're all streaming on Netflix.
Oh my god, Netflix.
Plus, I have the first two box sets already. I never picked up the third one because it, you know, the show just sort of faded out, you know, once it was canceled, and so the third season was a little so-so, I guess.
Yeah.
But now that it's on Netflix, why not watch it?
Yeah, why not?
So Dana and I should say that I've been a fan of Buffy and Angel and Joss Whedon in general since predating high school. I was looking back on this, and it seems almost weird now that I was getting into Buffy when I was 13-ish. I might have been as young as 12, but that seems so weird to me.
Young.
Yeah. So, as an early teen, I started watching these shows mostly via just reruns. Reruns on cable networks like FX and stuff. And we were just getting, like, the DVR in my house that could tape stuff off of television. And so I would tape whatever Buffy reruns were airing. And so I was watching the show in order whenever possible. But I'm sure I didn't start with season one. And I got most acquainted with season three. Eventually, I bought the box set. And later I got acquainted with the rest of the series and had a strong liking for season 6, and I bought that box set. I got well acquainted with Angel, I got well acquainted with Firefly, Dollhouse came out on Fox. Last Christmas I got the Buffy and Angel complete series box sets for Christmas. I already said that, Christmas. And so, yeah, I'm a big advocate for Joss Whedon, and I've been following these shows for what feels like the better portion of my life, although that's technically not true yet.
It's going on a decade now.
Yes. Dana got acquainted with Firefly before anything else.
Dollhouse
first?
Yeah, okay. Because that started in like February of... last year, 2009, and I watched the first season on TV.
Right. So we were watching Dollhouse as it was newly aired.
Actually, I might have watched Dr. Horrible before that.
Right,
if you want to be technical.
Yeah, can't forget about Dr. Horrible. So your exposure to Joss Whedon involved Dollhouse and Dr. Horrible, and then Firefly before Dollhouse was over, and now... Months ago, starting when would you say? Last December?
Yeah. I think over Christmas break we watched a couple together.
Yeah, so starting, let's say, like last January, we took on the undertaking of watching Buffy. We got through 3 seasons of it. And then the spinoff, Angel, started. I should say at this point, before I forget to say anything else, that if you're listening and you're not acquainted with Buffy or Angel, etc., and you don't want spoilers, stop listening if you haven't stopped listening already, because I will be free with the spoilers, as long as I'm not spoiling anything for either of you.
We need some sort of, like, sound effect, like a spoiler alert.
Because
we talk about shows on this podcast so much.
That's right, yeah. So Dana and I started watching Buffy, and then when Angel came along, we started watching both those shows. Watching them whenever we could, as they would have aired. So watching one episode of Buffy and one episode of Angel. Now you're at that point where Angel, the spinoff, has cropped up.
Yep.
Are you going to watch it the same way that we did, even though that's kind of annoying?
It is kind of annoying, but that's the plan. It won't go as fast as my first three seasons did, because now I have two shows to watch, but perhaps that's a good thing.
Well, I really, personally, you won't hear this from a lot of people. A lot of people might judge you for that kind of TV watching behavior, but I will go on record, microphone record, as saying that I respect you for that kind of TV watching. I think it takes dedication, and I think it is, in many cases, the right way to watch certain shows. Shows that are really worth watching are worth watching very quickly in condensed periods of time, because if you spread them out too far, you just won't pick up on the sort of things that are just nuanced and, you know, inside jokes and the stuff that the stuff that's really obvious when you're just watching episode after episode. Boom, boom, boom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Go to sleep, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
That's pretty much how it's been.
No, but these shows that we watch like that have kind of started to work their way into my dreams and into my consciousness. Like, for a while, when we were watching Buffy, I started having dreams where, like, I'd be, I don't know, chasing after aliens and monsters. And
I watched the Avatar animated mm-hmm. series earlier in the summer mm-hmm. before the live action movie came out, and that is still in my dreams.
Oh, yeah, that too. That was
so
really in my dreams.
Animated me is cool. I'll just tell you that.
Are you bending in your dreams? Are you a waterbender in your dreams? In your heart of hearts?
I don't think so. I think I'm just there, and at one point I was blind. So, I don't know what that had to do with anything.
Oh,
but
I hope it was like a third person perspective, otherwise you were just having a dream and not seeing anything.
I could hear really well.
Yeah,
smell things.
The thing is, I think of myself as, if I was a bender, I'd be a water bender, but in my dreams I was always an air bender, so you know, maybe in my heart of hearts, I lived in the Avatar world, I'd be an airbender.
Yeah, maybe that is revealing about you. Mm-hmm.
Well, those baby Appas are just so cute. How could you not be an airbender?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, I love that moment with the little bisons. So, having seen three seasons of Buffy, how are you liking it, and what are you liking best?
I like it a lot, obviously, or it probably would have stopped a while back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
peer pressure wouldn't have kept you going.
Probably not. If I was hating it that much, I probably would just be like, guys, I can't do this anymore.
As if we put you up to it in the first place.
You kind of did. You're like, you should watch that.
Do you think so?
I think so.
Because I don't recall saying that.
I think that most of the new things that happen in my life are almost the direct result of you guys.
Aww.
Because first it started with the Decemberists before I even knew you guys pretty much at all. And then Avatar, which wasn't totally you guys because Ryan made me watch it too.
Right.
But you guys were watching it around the house, and so I saw that. And now Buffy and Angel and Firefly and Joss Whedon. And
hopefully we're changing your life in only positive ways.
Well, it's really nice to hear you say, because I have for a while kind of liked to think of myself as a trendsetter. And mostly started with the Decemberists, because once the album The Hazards of Love came out, and I started listening to it a lot and sharing it with certain people, I noticed that a lot of people were listening to it, and I thought, you know what? I am single-handedly responsible for this.
No, and
hope that eventually I will get to the point where I'm suggesting things that you guys like as well, like Weeds, which I also watched earlier this summer,
that you guys will
probably get to in a couple of years. Hopefully when it's over, because the end of season 5 is just
See,
a doozy.
There are plenty of shows that I haven't seen yet that I would like to, but I'd prefer it if they were over.
Yeah.
For instance,
I will not watch another series that's still on the air.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
That's good. That's really good advice, actually. For instance, if we were going to pick up and watch a new show that neither of us, neither you, Dana, nor me, had ever seen, I would definitely go with Dead Like Me, which has been over for a while and only lasted 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from the, if I'm not mistaken, sorry if I am, but I think it's from the creator of Pushing Daisies and Wonderfalls, which are 2 similarly unsuccessful shows, which I like very much. And I've heard good things about Dead Like Me. And so, for instance, I want to watch that. I also want to watch Weeds. I also want to watch Breaking Bad. But I'm not going to watch Breaking Bad until it's over and done with.
Mm-hmm.
But you brought up Firefly, but have you watched that yet?
I haven't gotten to it yet.
Okay, see, that's the main reason why I was surprised when you told me I started watching Buffy, was because I alternatively might have suggested that you watch Firefly instead.
At one point in one of our conversations somewhere, you talked about how there may have been a point where Buffy, Angel, and Firefly were all on at the same time.
Right.
And I was thinking about doing that. I tried to get Ryan to watch Firefly with me, but he ditched me, and so I'm watching it by myself whenever I get around to it.
I do recall that. I forgot that I talked about that until you just reminded me. But that's a good train of thought. Good work, me, from the past. Because I think that you should watch Firefly, but now that you've already started the undertaking of watching Buffy and Angel, I think you should watch Buffy through season 6 and Angel through season 3, and then take a short break to watch Firefly, which at the pace that you watch things, you can watch in about 1 weekend.
Yeah, we watched it in a week, and it was during finals week.
Yeah,
so
we watched it all in finals week. Then, once you've watched Firefly and the movie Serenity, then continue watching Buffy and Angel, with Buffy season 7 and Angel seasons 4 and 5.
Okay.
And I say that because that's the best way to recognize people that appear in more than one Joss Whedon series. And then, once you've done all that, if you feel like it, watch Dollhouse. But I'm not going to hold you to that.
I think you should watch Dollhouse. Especially the second season, really enjoy it.
I have the first season in my Netflix queue, but the second season isn't out yet. So I didn't want to even touch that one yet.
Yeah. No, it's... Dana's right. It's worth it for the end of season 1 and most of season 2.
Just wasn't long enough to, you know, really hit stride.
Yeah. You have to get through a little bit of mediocre, a little bit of just okay stuff during season 1.
It took me a while to really like catch on to it and really enjoy it.
My sweet mate, who was discussed in an earlier episode of the Young Cast, is playing some music inside of his room, which I wouldn't be surprised if you're able to hear.
How rude of him to play music in his own room.
Yeah, that I'm not okay
with the door closed.
Yeah,
that's just... How could he?
How insensitive can you be? But we're already going on half an hour into this, so I'm not going to pick up and move now. So I hope you like the background music that you might be hearing.
Yeah, deal with it.
Yeah, screw you. Thanks, Sarah. okay, so... Buffy. is what we're here to talk about.
Yes, Buffy.
Favorite characters or favorite episodes or favorite season so far?
Okay.
Both of them.
Favorite characters.
Yeah, I'm going to try to think of that first.
I like Xander a whole lot because he's funny.
Yep.
I mean, he's funny. Yep. What else can you want in a person?
Nothing.
I like Angel because sometimes he's funny. Even his broodiness is just hilarious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When his self-aware moments are hilarious.
Yeah. And I don't know, for some reason, maybe it's just that he's attractive, but I like Angel.
purely shallow reasons.
Yeah, purely shallow. Because I'm that kind of person. I don't know. I think they're two of my favorites. Other than Spike,
right.
Who I just forgot about for a second. I don't even know how I could forget about Spike, because I love him.
Yeah.
He's just so good. So good.
I think Spike might be my top favorite, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that. I'm going to take the out of saying he's in my top five.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of my favorite now. I'm just thinking of a list. Like, I really like Xander, too, out of, you know, that central, you know, group. Because, you know, he's funny. He's a nice character. He's nice.
It's nice.
It's nice. I also really like Spike. I liked Drusilla. I think...
I do like Drusilla. Yeah. She's crazy.
See, Louis complains about Drusilla.
I don't understand that.
I feel like
I just love the scenes with her.
Yeah.
I also grew to like Anya a lot. And you haven't really gotten to know Anya yet.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert for Sarah. Anya is a bigger part of the series.
That's cool. I appreciate that. I kind of got that by the end of...
She kind of, like, took the place of
three.
Cordelia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As, like, the person who wasn't tactful at all.
The person who just says whatever is on their mind.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, that reminds me that I have to put out there that one of my favorite episodes is Earshot, the episode where Buffy can read people's minds.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly because I love the scene in the library where one by one she's reading everyone's mind, and every one of them is so hilarious and insightful. When Cordelia thinks something and then
says
it out loud.
She just says it.
Yeah.
She just says it.
Hilarious, right?
So funny.
When Oz is having that really, like, philosophical Descartesian, like, Buffy thinks...
We
think, therefore, Buffy is hilarious. Xander just thinking about naked girls and trying not to, but he can't not. Funny. I agree with you about all your favorite characters. I want to add a few, though. I'm very partial to Giles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
And... to a lesser extent, Oz.
Mm-hmm.
I like Seth Green's character a lot. I like his very covert... I love his sense of calmness, his coolness, and his very subtle, covert style of humor.
I think it's easier to find characters that I don't like. Because I like so many of the main characters so much.
Yeah.
I think it's easier just to say that
who
I don't
really
like Faith at all. She just annoys the crap out of me.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of Faith either. She also annoyed me and just caused all this unnecessary drama.
See, Faith kind of annoys me to an extent, to the extent that she would annoy anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Faith because I'm partial to season 3.
Mm-hmm.
You're more partial to season 2.
Yes.
You liked it more than season 3.
Are we skipping favorite episodes and just going?
Well,
to
I
want to.
This is on my mind.
I also
want
to say scariest episodes. Which episodes scared us the most?
Okay, that's fine. I just want to. This is what's on my mind, so I just want to get this out of my head, and we can talk about other specific episodes. But season 3, in my mind, might be my favorite. If it's not my favorite, then season 6 is my favorite. But season 3 is up there for me. Because of the mayor, mostly. Some people at this table might not agree with me, but Kenny Lakes would agree with me. Kenny agreed with me over dinner one time. The mayor is just hilarious.
He is hilarious. I'm totally in agreement with you.
Great.
Okay. I think that he is so funny.
Yes. He's so naturally funny.
Yeah.
And when he cracks a smile and lets out that chuckle, oh, it's great.
You chuckle too.
So the mayor is possibly my favorite villain in the whole series. I also like season 3, 4... Oh, see, I don't know. See, I'm in spoiler territory now. All right, I'll skip over that.
Just hit me with it.
All right, I like season 3 because it is the season... Well, maybe you can guess. I mean, out of everybody on Buffy, whose career takes off the most?
I don't know.
I mean, for Nicholas Brendon, who plays Xander, who the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
Where have you ever seen him? Okay, maybe not the most, because Allison Hannigan's career has taken off a lot. But at about the same time in the 90s, late 90s, early aughts, as Buffy was happening, whose star really starts rising and who might leave the show because his star is rising?
Oh, the guy who plays Angel. What?
I'm talking about Seth Green.
Oh, okay.
Seth Green, who has the success of, he was in all the Austin Powers movies.
Oh, yeah, see, and... we'll get to this later, but I wasn't allowed to watch things when I was younger.
Right. Seth Green has a pretty good acting and comedic career. Season 3 is the only full season to have Oz from start to finish.
Okay.
And I really like Oz, so that's another reason I'm partial to season 3.
Okay.
Also, while Faith might be sort of annoying, I really like the Faith storyline. I like it because it is the natural, compelling Buffy equivalent of an evil twin storyline. It's a lot like Buffy has an evil twin, but it's way less lame than that. It just happens way more naturally, and it's way cooler than her actually literally having an evil twin.
Mm-hmm.
But just the idea and the execution of the idea that there's a Slayer who's sort of gone rogue. It's a really cool storyline. And not only that, but not only does she go rogue, but she joins the mayor. And that relationship, that really quirky sort of father-daughterish relationship between the mayor and
just
Faith...
Just a little more creepy.
I love it. One of my favorite moments is when the mayor shows Faith, her new apartment or something, and she calls him Sugar Daddy, and he, comes down on her for that. He tells her that's inappropriate, and, that's not what this is.
Mm-hmm.
He humanizes it and, desexualizes it. The mayor is not only hilarious, but has, is so strangely human, despite being really, really evil.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, nothing compares to that in my mind. Do you want to try and convince me to like season 2 more?
I don't think that I'm going to be able to convince you, because I think that this is... What I'm going to be getting at is that it's pretty much just personal taste at this point. I think that you are right about a lot of things in season 3. I like the mayor a lot. The storyline is good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are more good individual episodes that stand on their own in season 3.
Yeah.
But I'm more drawn to the storyline in season 2.
Mm-hmm.
With Spike and Drusilla and Angel losing his soul and Spike at the end kind of flipping everything around to defeat Angel.
Yeah.
And Buffy having to kill Angel to save the world, basically. I'm more drawn to that personally than I'm drawn to...
I will give you this. I will submit to your side of the argument in these respects. Angelus is an awesome villain.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the baddest of the badasses. Mm-hmm. Plus, one of my favorite episode endings in the series is towards the end of season 2 when Spike gets up out of his wheelchair when no one else is around.
Yeah.
That is a killer moment.
It's so good.
So.
And Spike at the end helping out Buffy, just the scenes where Spike ends up sitting and talking to Buffy's mom.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. It makes me happy.
Yeah.
I just smiled the whole episode. I just, see, I think that's just what gets me.
It's true. No, I can't argue with that.
There were some moments in season 3 that I really liked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, during prom, when they were giving out the awards, and they kind of acknowledged the fact that these kids are not stupid. They realize that there's crazy stuff happening around them and give Buffy that award.
Cause protector. Yeah.
Yeah, because, I don't know, you never get any indication of that at any other time.
Yeah, no, that is a really nice moment. And I like that it's Jonathan up there who gives it to her. Because I like Jonathan, too. So, Dana, do you have something you wanted to contribute in terms of episodes, favorite or scariest, as you brought up?
As far as episodes go, the musical episode was really great.
Probably my favorite.
And also Hush, I think it still might be my favorite.
Which Sarah is soon to see.
Mm-hmm.
Also a great episode.
I was trying to remember the scariest, because I remember one, like, I had nightmares after seeing it.
Was it the one with the thing from... It's season 5, and it's the thing that comes from the moon. The one that comes to quell insane people.
Oh yeah, that was creepy.
Yeah, did that give you nightmares? Because I kind of thought it would.
Yeah, I was thinking something that climbed on the ceiling.
So. Yeah, it did. Yeah, that's definitely the rare episode.
Yeah, that one really creeped me out. Probably even more than the ones in Hush, though those were also scary.
Yeah. For my money, the things in Hush are really creepy, but probably the creepiest and the most unsettling for me doesn't come until season 7, and there's a demon of the week that... is just looks like this weird naked impish guy where you can like see too much of his rib cage, and he talks in rhymes a lot and eats skin.
Rhymes, your poet.
Oh, disgusting. Really horrible.
Scary.
Nothing so horrifying as rhyming and poets.
Hey.
Rhyming poets, not poets.
Okay.
Sarah, do you want to contribute anything to the discussion of episodes?
Lover's Walk, we talked about earlier. Spike in season 3 coming back and causing all kinds of drama.
Is that the only episode in season 3 that has
it's
Spike?
It's the only episode that has Spike. No. And he comes back and he's singing some kind of rocked out version of I Did It My Way.
Yeah.
Which just gets me every time. And
one time you've seen it.
No, I go back and watch that part all the time, every day.
That's a great ending.
I have seen it a couple more times.
Yeah.
And he's playing it at the beginning, too, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And he causes all kinds of trouble, essentially for nothing, because he leaves without Willow having made him a love potion, which is what he went for.
The resolution to his plot line is... I'm going about this all wrong. I'm going to leave and take Drusilla back myself.
Yeah.
And that was also the episode where subplot Xander and Willow are making out so much that both Oz and Cordelia see them. Cordelia gets impaled on something, and for about 2 to 5 seconds, they really lead you to believe that she's dead.
That made me mad.
I know, it made Dana really mad too.
I was
remember
really
that?
Upset.
I remember that moment, and I remember being upset. I don't remember that being that angry, but probably was.
That was obnoxious.
That's hilarious when you're with people seeing it for the first time. And as for season three, where season three is concerned, I really like The Wish, where they introduce Anya and there's an alternate dimension. And Earshot, I already mentioned that. And Band Candy, where all the adults are acting like teenagers. There are so many. Oh, and the Zeppo, the one that's mostly about Xander. All great episodes. We've gone on talking for a while, so let's rest the Buffy talk for now and move right along to the only running weekly segment of the show that I have going. Sarah, you're being introduced to this for the first time. It's a little something that I like to call, you know what's good?
What's good?
Well, we're all going to find out by sharing between ourselves. I have a deck of cards here and I'm shuffling them because I'm going to ask you as the guest, to cut the deck and flip over a card.
Literally cut it.
Please, no knives, no axes.
That we know you always keep on your person after watching Buffy.
At all times.
And then depending on the suit of the card, each suit corresponds to a category. And then each of us will contribute something that's good in that category.
Okay.
Hearts is literature, diamonds music, clubs movies, and spades miscellaneous.
I'm scared that I won't have anything good.
Dana and I will go first. Well, we can't both go first, but one of us will go first and the other will go second, and you will go third, and hopefully have time to come up with something. The card is a diamond, so the subject is music. I will go first. Let's make this quick, because we've been rambling on for a while. I won't say much about it. My contribution is the album In the Aeroplane Over the Sea by Neutral Milk Hotel. I've been practically in love with this album since sometime in high school. I've never stopped listening to it for the past 5 years or so. It's a great, great album. Again, it's called In the Aeroplane Over the Sea. I'm actually taking up guitar a little bit this summer, and most of the songs I'm trying to learn are Neutral Milk Hotel songs from that very same album. So check that out. Dana, music. What's good? You know what's good? What's good?
I do know what's good. An album I've been listening to a lot lately, and I think Sarah has too, is one by Fun. Fun, period. And there's a period at the end. And I heard of them, well, I literally heard them live. They performed at this university. Something University in the spring. And I actually kind of enjoyed them more than the actual bands they were opening for them. And so I bought one of their CDs and I really enjoyed it. It's really fun music.
And that album, by the way, is called AIM.
Yeah, should mention that. AIM and Ignite.
Well, yeah, or you could just interrupt me while I'm trying to say it, well, which you forgot to.
So. Well, you interrupted my, you know what's good.
Now, kids.
Sarah, do you know what's good?
I do know what's good. If it hasn't been brought up, which I think it probably has, we mentioned it earlier, Hazards of Love by the Decemberists, which I'm kind of obligated to bring up at all times because I have some lyrics tattooed on my foot. But yeah, listen to Hazards of Love, I would suggest, with lyrics in front of you so you can get the whole storyline.
Because it's a concept album with a storyline.
There is a storyline, and it's beautiful and wonderful, and it will always be my favorite and be tattooed on my body.
Yeah, and in a way, I feel responsible for your tattoo.
It's true.
For a part of your flesh.
Just think, if I get the little angel thing tattooed on me,
I'll be responsible for that too.
It'll
be your fault too.
And your parents will be doubly pissed at me.
No, my parents were not pissed at all. That's kind of a side story, but they were supportive of me.
Well, maybe you can tell that story next time. So, for the Young Cast episode 22, I'm Will.
I'm Dana.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Gary. Oh, golly. Tune in next time. Gee whiz.
Gee.